Praise God. I'd like you to turn to Matthew 16 for a moment. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, is everybody there? Praise God. In verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" In other words, hey, who do they say that I am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" One of the most important things that God desires is a personal relationship. Let me share something with you before we go forward. Jesus, the Word that became flesh. What God wants us to do is not be in love with knowledge. He wants you to be in love with Him. Does everybody understand that? Hey, look, I love the revelations and the impartations and so forth, and because certain areas he's exposing and imparting His character in us. Is everybody with me? But knowledge is to bring you closer to God, not further away. Amen? So Jesus said to them, in fact, look what happened to the Pharisees. Come on, when Moses was there, people wanted to know God, didn't they? Amen? But then all of a sudden, knowledge began. They began to fall in love more with the law, right? And they began to get further away from God. Then they became what? Religious. And they did the rituals and everything else. But if you remember, even when Jesus was here, right, the Spirit of the Lord was on some of the prophets and so forth. I mean, on all the prophets, but even some of the men that were seeking God. Remember, God sent Ananias, who was a devout man of the Lord. Amen? Well, what was he doing? He was praying. He was a seeker, wasn't he? And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And God spoke to him in a vision, didn't he? And sent him to go lay hands on Saul, who became Paul. So I just want you to understand that this is one of the things that the Lord says. He says, listen, I want you to fall in love with me, not my knowledge. Amen? I want you to, the knowledge is to bring you closer to God. The knowledge is there to expose the enemy. It's there to rescue people. It's there to expand the kingdom of God. But it's to be bringing you closer to God, not further away. I'm telling you, people are falling in love with knowledge instead of the person. And then they think they're okay. That's called religion. Has everybody got it? That's exactly what happened to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Sadducee. Amen? What they do? They miss God. I mean, that's why Jesus, listen here, I had no intentions of speaking on this, but praise God. That's why when Jesus came, he was like, what's the, and the scriptures were written about him, right? But they still missed him. Because they got so caught up in getting the best seats in the house. They got up, caught up in their positions and their gowns and their robes. And they were willing to accuse everyone else when they were out of order themselves. Amen? They took this, they defiled their authority, because the purpose of their authority was to rescue people. Instead, that's all they did was pocket money and so forth. And of course, then they killed Jesus. But they killed the person. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to kill the person, your relationship with the Lord. Oh, he loves if you just seek knowledge. He doesn't mind that. He doesn't mind if you get saved and you're going to church and you know, you do your rituals and so forth and you read your word and you know about Jesus. But one thing he doesn't want you to do is know him. Amen? He does not want you to have fellowship with the Spirit of the living God. who's called the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ. Is everybody with me? So that's where he says here, he says, but who do you say that I am? Do you really know me? I mean, we got to remember, they saw Jesus do miracles. They knew Jesus by the miracles. I mean, remember when people came to Jesus and Jesus said to them, you follow me because I'm a free meal ticket. You bring me a fish, I make a bunch. That's where drive-through fast food started. Jesus is the inventor of everything. What do you mean? Just bring the fish in, we'll lay hands on it. Boop, there it is. There goes six more cars through. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. In other words, you are the anointed one and his anointing. He didn't say that you are Jesus. Has everybody got it? He was the one that got the revelation. He said, you are the Christ. In other words, the presence of God, the love of God, the purpose, the image, everything. You are God. You are our Savior. You are our deliverer. You are the healer. You're the Christ. He got the revelation. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you. Why? Blessed are you because you know me. Does everybody got it? Blessed are you. It's not something that you read about. It's that you know me. You know me. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, which means revelation, that I am the Christ. This is not about the first pope. Hello? That's how Catholicism started. They called Peter the first pope. Did you all know that? Yeah. And the word rock is a representation of the anointing. Hello? Because remember when Moses was leading the Jews in the wilderness and they were thirsty. What did he do? He went what? Struck the rock. Amen? And then when they went thirsty again, the Lord told him, go speak to the rock, because that was going to be the ministry of the Spirit coming instead of the rituals. Has everybody got it? But Moses went over there and went back to the ritual, and he couldn't enter the promised land. You know, people may think, well, you know what? What about the merciful God? You got to understand something. Moses was one of the closest men to God. That little disobedience removed him right from the promised land. Why? Because the more God expresses and exposes himself to you, the more you better be sanctified. Or you'll lose what God gave you. Amen? Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Now, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven, and I say that you are Peter, and on this rock or revelation, I will build my church. In other words, he was going to build his church on the anointing. He wasn't going to build the church on the word. He was going to build it on the anointing, wasn't he? Does everybody understand that? See, if you look at the foundation, that's the anointing. Now, the word of the blocks. And what holds the word together is the mortar. That's called the anointing. Is everybody with me? That's why religion builds on the word. And the building blocks go, so their foundation is the word, but the problem is there's no anointing to hold it together. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if you get there or not. Okay, let's go on. Hallelujah. He says, and I will build my church on the revelation, on the anointing, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And verse 19, would you read it with me? And I will give you what? The keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. That is a key. What does a key do? It locks and unlocks, doesn't it? So what is he saying? He said, listen, whatever you bind or loose on earth, which means natural realm, will be done in the spirit realm. Now, why would he say that? Because he knows that you're not fighting flesh and blood. He says, come on, I want you to partake of my warfare. Jesus is the commander-in-chief of the military. Amen? He's the warrior, so you're in a war. And we're all part of his soldiers. Is everybody with me? Okay. So in this, he says, listen, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Some of you might not have learned this stuff yet, but you will. So be patient. What I'm sharing with you is if you bind something up, it can't go nowhere, can it? If you loose it, it gets freed up, doesn't it? So you have the power to bind and loose. Amen? But first you got to have the revelation of the anointing. Is everybody with me? Man, you ain't got the revelation anointing. You ain't binding nothing. Hello. Oh, to God be the glory. Good. So, the Bible tells us that you must first bind the strong man before you enter and plunder the goods of the evil one. That means you're binding powers of darkness. You have the authority to bind and loose. That's a part of your warfare. That's a part of the keys to the kingdom. Jesus said, listen, man, these are yours. Most people don't even know how to use them. Well, we have a teaching on them. So you ain't got an excuse now. Hallelujah. It's a part of your military outfit. Bind and loose. Now, I want you to understand something. That in this, that we can bind and loose, that means that you and I have authority over powers of darkness, right? In fact, turn to Mark 16. We're going to do a little Bible hopping. Hallelujah. Mark 16. We've all heard this before. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you all there? In verse 16. And he who believes, and what's the word believe mean? Follows. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. What's the first thing he says? In my name. They will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's a part of the advancement that God has given me and you is a part of the kingdom of God. So he's saying, listen, man, you're going to have authority to not only bind and loose, but cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. Amen. But the first thing that you must have is the revelation and relationship with him. You must know who he is. Does everybody understand that? You got to know who he is. And the only way you know who he is to spend time with him, is to talk with him, is to have fellowship with him in the spirit. You got to know him. Then he begins to confirm himself, not only through his word, but through revelation, through manifestation, certain things that begin to happen. And your relationship is growing. And you're going, whoa. And then you get into circumstances. And you get in trouble sometimes because we're still little flesh creatures occasionally when we move out of the spirit. And he's there to rescue us, isn't he? Amen. Now, one of the things that's very important, and I'm going to continue on what we spoke about Sunday, is that that there is self-deliverance. There is self-deliverance. You mean you can deliver yourself? You betcha. In fact, you better deliver yourself daily. Hello. And in this deliverance, self-deliverance, that means that there's an area where you're able to take authority, you're to bind and loose. Sometimes you need to lay hands on yourself and just tell that devil to go. You know, you just lay hands on yourself, cast that devil out. Amen? Praise God. Turn to Psalm 34. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 34. Verse 11. Let's see here. Verse 11. Yeah. Praise God. Let's go to verse 19. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Are you sure? Read it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all. All. Hello. All. Everybody say all.
All.
Now, if you can really get that in your spirit, you wouldn't freak out when you're afflicted. All afflictions are demonic. Does God allow afflictions sometimes? The only reason why God allows afflictions is because we tie his hands. Has everybody got it? God is not out to beat you up, cause you sickness or disease or whatever. Hello. We bring that on ourselves. But most of the time, we tie the hands of God. And we get afflicted. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. So God is the deliverer. The Lord is the one who delivers you. But he allows me and you to cooperate with him in this deliverance. Just like we are actually co-laborers with the Spirit, aren't we? We are co-laborers now of creation. We are co-laborers of everything. And this is what Jesus wanted to do. He said, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, and we're seated in heavenly places. Right? See, what he wants us to do is walk the way he walked. So we're actually co-laborers with him. In Psalm 119, would you go there? Oh, hallelujah. If you feel nauseous tonight, and your mind is going everywhere, a little dizzy, don't worry about it. It won't last too much longer. In Psalm 119, glory to God. If you're walking in fear tonight and your knees are shaking, you're getting a little tired, don't worry about it. It won't last too much longer. Hallelujah. In verse 65, would you read it with me? You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Hello. In other words, okay, I got it. I'm going to obey this time, man. You know, most people, when they end up blowing it or whatever, and backsliding, they're like, oh, man, you know, I really don't know what happened. Of course not. That's why he's called deceptive. Amen? See, this is where people begin to get caught up in the entanglements and affairs of the world. And they don't even realize it. And the next thing you know, bam. Man, how did I get here? Well, you know why? Because you didn't keep what God told you to do. You went astray and you got afflicted. Everybody got it? Come on. Go to Psalm 91. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 91. Now, you know, I want you to understand something, that we can bring, these are called bringing self-afflictions, isn't it? I mean, you can be afflicted by shaking somebody's hand that's sick. Well, it was your fault. You shook his hand. Right? That's called a temporary curse. Three types of curses: inherited, self-imposed, and temporary. You know, it's, people get sick. People get sick and die for touching a doorknob because somebody was sick and they were, and it affected them terribly. Has everybody got it? So, you know, those are things that are just self, you know, goofiness. You know, you didn't realize people don't wash their hands or whatever, you know. I mean, somebody's sneezing and they say, hey, let's pray together. Man, don't touch their hand. Tell them to go wash it. Don't drink out of the same bottle. Has everybody got it? You know? Hallelujah. You know, we got work to do, you know. Don't get all soulish. Somebody's sniffling all over the place and give them a hug. Oh, I love you. Yeah, no weapon formed against you will prosper, but I ain't stupid. Honey, you sick? Good. You sleep in that room, I'll sleep in this one. Praise God. Hello. I got work to do. I can't afford to get sick. It's nothing personal. Hello. It's divine order. It's called sanctification. And it's called wisdom from above, not soulishness from beneath. Hey, my wife knows. If she's feeling sick, she'll tell me, honey, why don't you go sleep in another room? She's not trying to get rid of me, I hope. No, but we have a relationship because our whole purpose in life is to serve the Lord. So if one of us is sick, we don't want to afflict the other. Amen? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 91, everybody in here. Hallelujah. Would you turn, read verse 14 with me? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Oh, glory. He shall call upon me and I will what? Answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, there's something important. He said, because he has set his love upon me. In other words, he purposed in his heart to have a relationship with him. So everybody got it. And he said, look, now I'm going to deliver you. Has everybody got it? See, God delights in delivering his children. He delights it. You know, so many people think, oh man, the Lord's forsaken me. You know, I hear so many people, they think they're on the cross when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, they start quoting that scripture. And then the devil takes it, yes, he has forsaken you. And he starts telling, yeah, man, where is he now? Turkey. He starts saying all kinds of stuff, and you get separated from God more and more, and you're like, oh, Lord. See, when that stuff happens, you got to say, who told me that? Who told me that? Who told me not to worship the Lord? Who told me to sit down while it's time to worship? Who told me that I was tired and I worked hard today and I have a right to sit down in God's presence? Who told me that? It wasn't my dad. Because I know that when the commander comes into the house, everybody stands. To me, it's disrespectful. We are to learn to honor the presence of God and not disrespect it. And people wonder why they ain't getting touched. First, you got to learn to honor and respect God's presence. Somebody understand that? Praise God. Thank you for understanding that. Go to Luke 4. That way, when somebody else comes in and sits on their blessed assurance, you can elbow them and say, get up, or the pastor's going to get you. What you doing, man? Don't be sitting there. Praise God. I remember one time I threatened everybody, all right, we're taking the seats out. I said, that's it. No more seats in this place. You know, I'll either stand up or kneel down. Praise God. Then I got convicted. So. In Luke 4, in verse 21, Jesus just expressed to everyone that he was the anointed one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He just said to them that, in verse 21, he said, he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So as all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is this not Joseph's son? See, because they only acknowledge him as Joseph's son. You know? And people are going to look at you as who you were. And he said to them, you will surely say to this proverb, to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. And he said, surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But none of them was Elijah sent except Zarephath in the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. In other words, he was saying, listen, Jesus was going to heal. He was there. He was saying, you know what? Physician, heal yourself. But I'm sharing something with you, very important. There is self-deliverance. Now, we know that God is the deliverer, isn't he? There is self-healing, but we know God is the healer. You know, so many people who say that you are the temple of God, you know. And you must cooperate with the Spirit that's within you. The Holy Spirit, I hope. That's why when you go grab that candy bar, sometimes you get convicted. I shouldn't eat that. And then you convince yourself, oh, well, I need some energy. And then you get a sugar buzz. And you think it's the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, I knew I should have eaten that. Yeah. Man, what an anointing on that bar. Man, you need to eat these things. They're anointed, right? They're anointed, right? They're anointed to kill you, man. You know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why things that we eat and so forth can bring self-healing, can't they? Amen? Well, in this is self-deliverance also. As long as there's that fellowship. In fact, self-deliverance and self-healing is a continuous process. It's not a one-time event. It's continuous. Because we pick up stuff all the time. We have another teaching called Maintaining Your Deliverance, but I'm not going there tonight. Maybe another night. That's where the Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? Now, knowledge is to expose the enemy, isn't it? Knowledge is to assist us. It's a part of a tool to expand the kingdom of God. But then there's the word, the person, who are to have that relationship with us. But he says, you know, because you have rejected my knowledge, amen, I'll reject you from being priests from me. That means relationship. And because you forgot the law of your God, I will forget your children. And by that, he's saying, I'm bringing a curse on their family line, which is coming down. That's why many of us were forgotten, but really not forgotten, but it took us a long time to get into the kingdom. 39 years, it was rough. It was hell on earth for a long time till Jesus rescued me. See, because I wasn't taught the oracles of God. I wasn't taught the ways of God. My family didn't know. You know, they just, you know, go to church, throw a few cents in. My dad stayed home. My mother went. You know, and when I went to church, I saw everybody old there. So I thought maybe when I was about 90, I'd go to church. I mean, they just sat there. They couldn't go anywhere. They waited for somebody to pick them up and drop them off. Nobody got healed. Nothing happened. They read a couple of scriptures, I figured, because they couldn't go any further. The only one that was catching a buzz was the priest. He was drinking all the wine up on the altar. Hello? I'll never forget. I was an altar boy. And you did the water and the wine. The chalice went out there, the wine, boom, 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 you empty it. The water, that's enough. But it was religion. And that's how I was brought up. I'm not saying that's how you were brought up. Amen? Because I know some people went to spirit-filled places in that area. But I didn't know. And I was being destroyed. The word destroyed means perishing. Means perishing. I was slowly perishing. But my grandmother, somebody was praying for me. Come to find out years later that my grandmother was baptized in the Holy Ghost. The problem was she couldn't speak no English, so I don't know what she was ever saying. She could have been praying in the Holy Ghost, and I never even knew it. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Joy is good medicine. There's nothing wrong with joy. I'm telling you. 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Would you read it with me? But you what? You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? In other words, it's already in you. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things pertaining to deliverance and healing. You already know it. It's in you. I mean, he wrote the book. Amen? It's in you. Go to verse 27. Is everybody there? Oh, praise God. But the what? The anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. This is how we are able to walk in self-deliverance and self-healing. So everybody got it. Now, I'm not talking about you're healing yourself. Do you understand that? I'm not talking about you're delivering yourself. I'm talking about that you are cooperating with the deliverer and healer, and it is a function where your body is being sustained, and your spirit is being sustained, and your soul is being sustained to walk in the Spirit of God, where you are not picking up unclean things, and when you do, you shake them off. So everybody got it. So you and I are to be walking in self-deliverance and self-healing all the time. Hello? Go to James 5. Now there's something you've got to understand. The anointing in you will teach you and guide you to healing and deliverance. Obedience will bring forth your healing and deliverance. Has everybody got it? Okay, the anointing in you will teach you and guide you to healing and deliverance. But your obedience will bring it forth. See, because the Holy Spirit's going to guide you and teach you. But if you ain't listening and you're not obeying, it's not coming forth. Obedience is the only thing that delivers you. And obedience is the only thing that heals you. I know individual, that was pretty powerful because he was told to do something by his pastor. And he brought it to me because he was a little confused about it. And I was a little confused about it. I thought, man, why are you going there to get delivered? You, but okay, wait, let's just back off. God says, submit to authority and resist the devil. Submit to God and resist the devil, right? And the devil will flee from you. So we just backed off and basically it was like, submit to your authority. By his obedience, God delivered him. It had nothing to do with what, because I knew he wasn't going to get delivered the other way. He was going to get some counsel from other stuff and whatever, and I just thought, phew, that ain't going to do it. But his obedience delivered him. Do you understand it? See, your disobedience will open the door to demonic activity. Hello. Your disobedience will open the door to demonic activity. And let me tell you, it will look like God. That's why Jesus said, who do you say I am? See, it's everybody else who says something. Oh man, you know, you ought to do this, and you know, I meant this, and whatever, and such and such said this, and such and, but what did God tell you to do? Let me tell you something. When it's not God that told you to do it, you open yourself to demonic activity. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And he'll always confirm it through his office. Always. Because he's not a God of confusion. And it's not to put people in control. It's to set them free. Amen? That's what it's about. It's to set them free. Obedience brings freedom. Amen? Disobedience brings bondage. Oh, hallelujah. Where do we go now? Okay. James 5, thank you. Glad somebody's listening here. Now I need to. James chapter 5. So I really got that revelation. I said, okay, Lord, I understand the importance. I mean, I knew the importance of obedience, but when I saw it, because what was happening just did not make sense. I knew that the counsel this man was going to go to was not going to deliver him and heal him. But the obedience did. Oh, hallelujah. And that's how Daddy works, you know. In James chapter 5, and in verse 13. If any among you is suffering, let him what? Hello. Okay, you can all go home now. If anybody's suffering, let him what? Pray. Let him pray. Let him pray. Somebody come to you and say, man, pray for me. Pray for yourself first. Did you pray for yourself first? Don't ask me to pray for you unless you ain't prayed first. No, I haven't had a chance. Get behind me. When you go pray, call me. I'll pray with you. But don't come and ask me to pray for you if you ain't prayed yet. Amen? He said what? Go pray. Go seek. Seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. Not if somebody seeks the kingdom of God for you, you go do it. Hello. Okay. Is everybody okay? Good. Where are we now? James 5, 13. Okay, 14. We're not done with 13. If any among you is suffering, let him go pray. Let him pray. If anyone is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. That's why I see psalms all day. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will what? Save the sick. Hello. The prayer of the faith will what? Save the sick. Obviously, sin has brought the sickness. Amen. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be what? Forgiven. Confess your what? Trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me tell you, as you begin to pray for other people's healings and deliverance, you begin to get delivered and healed. Why? Because what you sow is what you reap. Hello. Now, of course, what you sow and what you reap can be against you, too. It can bring you bondage, can it? Amen. So we see that there's an important thing, confession. Everyone say confession. That means that you've touched and agreed with something unrighteous, whether it be a thought or something, that has opened the door to you to sin through a thought. Is everybody with me on that? Okay, then the transgression comes or so forth. Okay, so confession is very important. Let me tell you why. Because what it does, it allows you to renounce those hidden things of shame. Has everybody got it? It allows you to renounce those things. By confessing them, you're now renouncing them. The longer it takes you to confess, the more you reap. Has everybody got that? So if you sinned or whatever and you didn't repent and you didn't break it, listen, when you repent, you're covering, the blood is washing the sin, right? Now you got to break it. What are you breaking? You're breaking what you got coming. You're breaking the reaping. You're renouncing it. Why? Just because, let me tell you, when you repent, you're washed. Okay? But now it's your responsibility to renounce it and sever it completely. Oh, hallelujah. We'll get there. Philippians 4. Confession is very, very important. Oh, hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4. Man. Wow. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Philippians 4 and verse 4, I think. Yeah, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, right? Again, I say what? Rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, what you're saying is, you know what? I may not know it now, but I will, and God's with me and not against me. Amen. Why? He desires to deliver me. He's going to deliver me all of my afflictions, all of my troubles. He's going to do it. But what I have to do is cooperate with him. And of course, this says, be what? Anxious for nothing. Hello. But in everything by what? Prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. One of the things that is good. You know, when you're praising and worshiping the Lord, and God begins to convict you in certain things and begins to expose things and whatever, it's good sometimes to write certain things down. As you're repenting certain things, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will have you, maybe when you're sitting in your prayer or whatever, listen, you know what you're struggling with. And sometimes you don't know what you're struggling with, but somebody else does. Why? Because you tell them by the fruit. Has everybody got it? You tell them by the fruit. Somebody could just, there could just be a reasoning or unction to go somewhere or call someone or whatever it is. you know, people, places, and things, buy something, whatever it may be, there could be just a slight little unction of reasoning, and the next thing you know, you're drifting. And you don't even realize that you're drifting, but others notice it. That's because you're telling the Spirit by the fruit, aren't you? Amen? You're telling the Spirit, or what's happening by the fruit, somebody is doing something they haven't done before that you've known. Amen? All of a sudden you see carnality begin to occur, come up. You begin to see more fear. You begin to see more lust. You begin to see more perverse talk. You begin to see one of the first signs is rebellion, even in the simplest way. Amen? You begin to see pride, me, myself, and I. Amen? So you begin to see these fruits. You begin to see laziness. You begin to see no more zealousness. You begin to see compromise. You begin to see coldness. I mean, these are things, I'm just sharing some things. You begin to see accusing, looking at everybody else's stuff instead of your own. Let me share something with you. You've just touched and agreed with the Spirit. Is everybody with me? So one of the things that's good is when you begin to sense these things, write them down. Has everybody got it? When you begin to see and sense, you know, it's things that you're struggling with that you even know, write those down. You know, I was in this place in Virginia one time. I don't know if you ever heard of the Heflins, but powerful people of God, prophets. I mean, they were very powerful prophets worldwide. And they had places in Jerusalem and so forth. But anyways, I was at one of their camps, and what they had everybody do was write out prayer requests. And we danced over them. I mean, we danced, man. I was a dancing fool. You kidding me? I had a novel. You know, my prayer request was, whew. You know, I was a dancing fool. You know why? Because I wanted freedom. You don't get free unless you want it. You don't get delivered unless you want it. You don't get healed unless you want it. Now, God says, if you want it, you'll seek it. Amen? I get people that call us all the time. They want to know about our discipleship program from drugs and alcohol and so forth. And when I finally, the person is needing this information, is this for you? No, it's for my son or my daughter. Well, do they want deliverance or healing? Well, I don't really know. So are you going to do it? You know, I mean, you can't deliver someone unless they want it. You know? No, we didn't get free just by getting free. We got free because we wanted to be free. And that voice said, are you willing to do whatever it takes to get free? I said, yes, I can't live this way. I got to find a new life. That's when Jesus comes. It's amazing how all of us, you know, I remember when I was in the world and people I used to hang around with, and they turned to Jesus, and I thought, man, everybody goes from drugs to Jesus. It's because he was the only one that... He's the only bridge that didn't burn, you know. Everything else burned. He was the only one that didn't burn. I'm like, praise God, you know. And it was the only bridge that had a red carpet, you know. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus waited patiently for us and delights in delivering us. Amen. Not everyone made it, though. And that's where we got to be grateful. So, even maybe this Friday or whatever, right, you're going to notice some more things during the week or what you're struggling with, or somebody else might notice it for you. And you can just write it down and bring it up to the altar Friday night, and we'll just dance around it and thank God. Maybe some of us, I mean, I danced on them too, you know, I stomp them. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Samuel 16. Is everybody okay? First Samuel 16. Do we start late tonight or something? Hallelujah. It's only 8:30, right? Oh. You got her fruit, praise God. Oh, to God be the glory. Some of you all getting freed up already, you know that, right? First Samuel 16. And verse 14, I believe. Let's see. Yeah. Would you read it with me? But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul in a what? Distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Distressing spirits are tormenting spirits. I'm just going through some of this just so that you can begin to discern certain things. I want you to understand that a third of Jesus' ministry was casting out devils. That was a third of his ministry. When the devil was left, the person got healed. When the devil was cast out, the person got healed. Smith Wigglesworth was a powerful man of God. Smith Wigglesworth. When that man used to pray, the glory of God used to come in and wipe everybody out. He was sick. And he was in bed. He just couldn't understand why God didn't heal him. And this little old lady came in and looked at him and cast the devil out of him. And he got healed. He couldn't believe he had a devil. I mean, here this guy's praying and the glory of God is coming. People are getting healed. I mean, all kinds of, people would line up to come to the services. He'd go out in the car and lay hands on them while people were waiting to get in. And they'd all get healed. And he picked up a devil. And this woman came and cast the devil out of him. And he realized then, whoa, anybody can get a devil. And it convinced him, you know, but God, how he turns things, you know, to the good. He got Brother Smith Wigglesworth in revelation that sickness is associated with the spirit. So everybody got it. Sickness is associated with the spirit. Hello. Go to Matthew 12. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12. So is addiction a disease or a demon? Amen. In fact, the word disease means dis-ease. It means there's distress there. There's torment there. Well, where there's torment, there's a devil. Oh, I just don't believe that. Because you got an unbelieving spirit. Called the spirit of Antichrist. Matthew chapter 12. Is everybody there? In verse 43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man or a person, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there in the last state that man is worse than the first. So these spirits do want to come back, don't they? They want to come back. Why? Because they need you to survive. Hallelujah. So we see here that there's distressing spirits, unclean spirits. These are things that open doors in our life is when we begin to touch these unclean things. Amen. That's why it's so important about staying filled with the Spirit. In Matthew 5, are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. verse 33. Praise God. Hallelujah. People be coughing and yawning and sneezing. That's okay. Just as it's happening, just going, loose me in Jesus' name. What's the word spirit mean? Breath. Where do you think they're going to come out of? Hello? Listen, when they start getting exposed, they got to go leave somehow. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll open myself up to that one, man. Praise God. Okay. Where are we? Matthew 5, 33. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, for whatever is more than there, than these is what? From the evil one. Oaths. Vows that you've made and you didn't commit. You know, I think people, you know, they used to have, when people got married, they'd say, death to us part. The secular world don't say that no more. No, they don't. Love you, accept this person, yes. Man, they avoided that whole sentence. They want to make sure they got a way of escape. You know why? Because they can't commit. They can't commit. But you know, many of us have made vows and oaths. Some of us, and I'm sharing some of this stuff so you can start writing this stuff down. I know it's running a little late and I'm not going to keep you long. I just want to go through some of these things so you can begin to write some stuff down, okay? So that when you come to service Friday, we can put it there and we can get rid of some of this stuff. But some of us were in fraternities, sororities, gangs, whatever it was. Any oath that you ever made in your life needs to be broke. Does everybody understand that? It needs to be broke. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to remembrance. Contracts that you signed. I don't care if you went to go rent an apartment, you made an oath. Anything that you ever sign, your car payment you never finished, that is a curse on your life. Why? Because you didn't complete what God asked you to. You made it, and even if God wasn't in it, and you still did it. Amen? So you didn't pay your charge cards. You didn't pay your child support. You made a covenant, an oath. Does everybody understand that? And by that, you opened the door. Amen? You bring a curse upon yourself, don't you? Is everybody with me? Oaths are very important. So what you do is you renounce it, you repent, you break the curse off, and you begin to do what you're supposed to do. Everybody all right? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Distressing spirits, they torment the mind. Unclean spirits, oaths that open the door. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? For God, what? Has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. So people open themselves to spirits of fear watching horror flicks. Hello. Fear, traumas, even when you were a child, abuse produces fear. As a child, men or women or whatever, been raped or abused or assaulted in certain areas, it's opened the door to demonic activity of fear. Is everybody with me? Fear. Traumas in that area. Fear. Fear of man. Fear of trusting. Relationships. Relationships where there was just either abusive or mistrusting, cheating on one another, whatever, it produced an area where you can't trust. And it's difficult for people to go into another relationship. People who were, as children, kept away from the world, walk in fear. In fact, the word shame means, as a representative, or shyness. Somebody who's very shy, man, that's fear. Well, he's just shy. No, that's a demon. You know, they think it's false humility. Does everybody understand? Oh, they're just very shy. No, that's a demon, man. Amen. So there are areas in that where we've got to realize, amen, abuse and traumas and stuff like that. Rejection always produces fear. Always produces fear. I shared before that children born out of wedlock, it produces fear. Relationships with parents, stuff like that. There's an area of rejection. You know, when they were younger and the mother or father, there was always verbal abuse or whatever. You can never mount to anything and so forth. Man, that imparts into that child. It imparts into that child. And it produces fear and rejection and mistrust and so forth. You know? It produces hatred and anger. I mean, you know, even these relationships produce jealousy and rage. Is everybody with me? So all of these areas, you know, I just want you to begin to really look back. Look through everything. What's happening in your life? Where are you at right now? Families that were involved in witchcraft, practicing witchcraft. Wow. Reading psychics, reading horoscopes, calling the psychic hotline to find the tip of the next horse race. And then you got mad at the horse and the person that lied to you. Hello. Come on, you know, I mean, it's happening. It's happening. You know, areas of putting trust in the wrong places. People gamble and put trust in the wrong place. Curses a man who trusts in man and blesses a man who trusts in the Lord. Amen. People who put their trust in their talents instead of God. Does everybody understand that these are all areas where, man, where are we at? Those become idols in our life. Idols. I'm just going through all this with you so I don't keep you here all night. Well, maybe. Huh. Hallelujah. Well, to God be the glory. Is everybody all right? Come on, are you all smelling that popcorn yet? You know, certain individuals, let me share a couple other things. And I've got a bunch, and we'll probably have to do a part two. But anyways, areas where people overeat. You know, we call it a spirit of gluttony, but gluttony just doesn't pop up from nowhere. You know, and it's in that area where there's been a trauma or a fear that causes the individual to try and bring self-fulfillment. Amen? And so, because they can't get fulfillment another way, because that demon is trying to, you know, eat. Yeah. He's trying to eat everything, man. Hello. You know, he's looking for fulfillment. And you got to lock the refrigerator. Wake up in the middle of the night, I got to eat something. What you doing out here, man? I'm eating. You know, there's some people that eat because they're afraid that they ain't going to get it. It's that street mentality. I'm telling you. You know, man, if I don't get it now, I'm never going to get it. They stuff their pockets with cookies. Hello. And then they take their pants and they empty out their pants and they put all the crumbs on the countertop. And then, see, I don't know, wait a minute now. So then they empty out their crumbs, you know, and then they, oh, man, it's all crushed. Then they take the cookie crumbs and they put it all together again and make another cookie. Oh, hallelujah. That's called a gluttony spirit. And then there are those who don't want to do nothing. They've come to a place where they believe everybody owes them everything. That's called a welfare mentality. And it's also a devil. Hello. The Bible says, no worky, no eaty. You know, because they're putting their hands into everything else except for the things that God is asking them to do. We're going to continue on this, okay? Because there's really a lot more to it I really want to cover, and I don't have the time. And I don't want to keep you here all night. But you know what? Just start getting your list together. Hey, if it's good enough, we can write a book. Believe me, I got a book coming, I'm telling you, man. Praise God. But listen, don't be afraid. Amen. And don't reason and don't justify. So everybody got it? Don't reason and don't justify. You know, and it's just like I've shared before about, you know, people falling into fornication and they can't stop, pornography and all of these other things. Is because they're looking for fulfillment and that demon's trying to get fulfilled. Does everybody understand that? Okay? So whatever it is, just start writing it down. Writing these things down, and we'll continue this next Tuesday. Amen? And whatever God brings revelation, we'll get an impartation. Amen. Father, thank you for your word tonight, and we are honored and blessed, Master. And Lord, we thank you for self-deliverance. Hallelujah. But we know it's not we who are delivering us. It's you who's delivering us by cooperating with you. Lord, we thank you for self-healing because we're cooperating with you. We thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, not only is our flesh healed, but our soul and emotions and feelings healed, our thoughts healed. Everything's healed, the torment of the mind. Lord, we thank you that everything is available for us. And we just thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for your love. And Lord, we just commit everything to you. We cast our cares upon you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, please quicken us for this rest of this time till we meet again and begin to write that stuff down that we can get set free, because we are going to expose it for freedom, for your glory, that your image and likeness could be manifested in us. In Jesus' name.